Thank you, Ken. Once again, good evening. If you would turn your Bibles again, book of Matthew chapter 11. In Matthew chapter 11, the passage that was read for us is certainly an intriguing passage in what is revealed regarding John the Baptist, what the Lord says as regarding ourselves. But you'll observe in Matthew chapter 11 in verse 15, as the Lord concludes this particular discussion, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So therefore, this is not merely an intriguing passage that might fire our questions. There are things in here that we need to learn and be attentive to. So you observe, first of all, we're dealing here with the example of John. And Jesus identifies, quote, quite clearly in verse 11, John the Baptist. And please, of course, make no mistake that this was any way connected to the Baptist church. John the Baptist had nothing to do with the Baptist church. That became centuries later by the decree and the will of men. But you observe here regarding John, and noticing, first of all, his life and his work, since our Lord makes mention of the greatness of John, as we have observed already. You recall Luke chapter 1, when the angel Gabriel came to Mary and informed her, surprised her, that being a virgin, she was nevertheless going to bear a child. A child would be named Jesus, he'd be great, and have the throne of his father David. The angel also told her regarding her relative in Luke 1 verse 36. King James says her cousin. It may well be her cousin, but the word there is more general, simply one of the same family. That her relative Elizabeth, although past childbirth age, was now in her sixth month. And so then Mary leaves and goes to the hill country of Judah, spends but 3 months with her relative Elizabeth. So the 9 months being complete for Elizabeth, then Mary returns home and Elizabeth gives birth. And of course she gives birth to the one identified and named, of course, as John, who would be John the Baptist. Therefore, considering the birth of this man, and he was now at least 6 months older than Jesus, he's the one who refers to the one coming after him as mightier than I. He's Jesus' relative, and he's older than Jesus. The book of John chapter 1, just keep your finger in the book of Matthew, but the book of John chapter 1, as we identify John in God's purpose. In John chapter 1 and verse 6, again speaking of John, "There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light," a witness who would testify, "so that all might believe through him. He was not the light," speaking of John, "but he came to testify about the light." So John, therefore, a man sent from God, a man who had a purpose, that is to testify as a witness regarding the light. In the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3, the prophecy had been made of a voice calling, "Clear the way of the Lord." Book of Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1, also the prophet made known the word of God, "I will send my messenger to clear the way before me." Book of Matthew chapter 3. In Matthew 3 and verse 1, as John's ministry begins, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is the one referred to," notice, this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet, when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John was that voice. Then in our text, look at Matthew chapter 11, identify what our Lord says of John in verse 10. "This is the one about whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you." And so it is identified that John is both the voice and John is also the messenger of God to clear the way, prepare the way before the Lord. Noticing also further, the book of Malachi chapter 4, Malachi concludes, almost the concluding words of the Old Testament, "I will send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to their fathers." So there was also the coming of Elijah, not only the voice, but also not only the messenger, but also the coming of Elijah was made known. So the book of Luke, chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, the angel makes known to Elizabeth, to Zechariah, that his wife Elizabeth will have a child. Although she is past the age of childbirth, Zechariah, of course, is also old. An angel says regarding this child who will be born of Elizabeth, which, of course, we know being John. In verse 16 of chapter 1 of Luke, "And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of his fathers back to their children, and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So John the Baptist, therefore, a man sent from God, had a very, very clear, identified role and purpose, fulfilling the prophecies of the Old Testament. He would be the voice, he'd be the messenger, and he's the one who come in the spirit and power of Elijah. He had a tremendous task to roll and role to fulfill. Then we think of the book of Matthew chapter 3. And John is baptizing in the river Jordan. And Jesus comes to him to be baptized. And John says, "You come to me, but I'm baptized by you." Obviously recognizing the moral virtue of his relative, Jesus. Jesus admonishes him to fulfill all righteousness. And John baptized Jesus. And as you recall, coming out of the water, heavens are opened. And the Spirit descended as in the form of a dove and was lighting upon Jesus. And then a voice out of heaven, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased," identifying Jesus Christ. So observe further the book of John chapter 1. Following the baptism of John, following the baptism of Jesus by John. In John 1 verse 29, speaking of John, "The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" This is following, of course, Jesus' baptism and following the evidence that John had seen as John goes further. He says, "This is he on behalf of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me.'" Now, John was at least 6 months older than Jesus, but he recognized that Jesus existed before him. Jesus' existence didn't begin when he was born of Mary. Jesus is the eternal one. He existed before me. He said in verse 31, "I did not recognize him as the one who was the Messiah," who recognized him, obviously someone of moral virtue, "but I did not recognize him, but so that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water." And with John as a voice, John as a messenger, and John's one in the spirit and power of Elijah, "I came baptizing in water. John testified, saying, 'I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him.' I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me," remember who sent John? A man sent from God. God sent John. He said in verse 31, "I did not recognize him, but he, so he might be manifest to Israel, I came baptizing in water. John testified, saying, 'I have seen the Spirit descending upon him as a dove out of heaven and remained upon him.' I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said, 'He upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit.'" And so John concludes, as a man who sent to testify as a witness in verse 34, "I myself have seen and testify that this is the Son of God." And so in John 3, as John's disciples were getting a bit antsy that the crowds are going to he whom you baptized, to Jesus. And John made very clear in John 3 in verse 30, "He must increase, I must decrease." Because John recognized his purpose and his role had been fulfilled. A great purpose. A man who stood at the apex of the Old Testament. "I must decrease, he must increase, I must decrease. So with that in mind, we turn back to the book of Matthew chapter 11. And we have this question asked by John. It was in Matthew chapter 11 verse 2, where John was imprisoned. And of course, his imprisonment again says a lot about John and his character. We know from John, from the book of Matthew 14, that he was imprisoned because he dared to stand against Herod. Herod had taken his brother's wife, Herodias, and John said, it is not lawful for you to have her. Now, Herod had John put in prison, and Herod wanted to kill John, but he had fear of the people because they regarded him to be a prophet. Of course, when Herodias' daughter did a wee dance, then Herod's fear went out the window, and John's head come off. But here's John, he is now in prison. And the question he asks, he sends the disciples to Jesus. Are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else? And you wonder, how could John ask that question? After all that he was aware of, he knew he'd been sent from God. And God had told him, the one you see the Spirit descending, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. And I saw the Spirit descending. This is the Son of God. How then could John ask this question? How could these doubts be in John's mind? A lot of speculation is raised, possibly because of his imprisonment. He was now, although he was a man whose character, whose faithfulness was very clear, he was now in a very precarious predicament. He was held in prison by an all-powerful despot who wanted to kill him. Did the time to quietness, mulling things over, cause his knees to begin to shake? Were there some things about the Messiah he thought Jesus should be doing that Jesus hadn't done? Well, we could have all kinds of questions, wondering why John would ask this question. Why would these doubts arise in his mind? But what is not speculative is how Jesus responded to him. And here is where we need to take heart. Have you ever had questions or doubts rise in your mind? Have there been situations that caused you to kind of quake a little bit? Have you ever had uncertainties? I'm sure you have. Well, observe our Lord's response. He said, go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who does not take offense at me. Observe, John's questions and John's doubt did not lower him in any way in Christ's estimation. As in the 103rd Psalm, he is mindful we are but dust. And isn't that encouraging? Didn't you find that a matter of consolation? He did not, although John raised these questions and expressed his doubt, he did not lower him in Christ's estimation one little bit. And also learn from Jesus. When the question was asked, are you expected one? You look for someone else. How could he have answered? Directly. But he did not answer directly. He had the messengers of John look at the evidence. So in the same way, when we are asked questions, why don't you baptize children? Why don't you sprinkle babies? What's the easier thing to do? You give them the answer. What's the best thing to do? Have them look at the evidence. Get them into the Bible. Find the answers for themselves. And so you learn from John, and from John you learn from Jesus. We have a Savior who, again, mindful we are but dust, to call things into consideration. And having said that, when the messengers of John, no matter how long they stay with Jesus, we're not told, but as they're leaving and going back to John carrying this message, you observe what the Lord says about Jesus, about John. He commences to praise his character, his integrity, and his faithfulness. As these men were going away in verse 7, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind? Now, here's the man who looked Herod the king in the eyes. This wasn't a man who was swayed by popular opinion. He made known the word of God. What did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? No, John was dressed in camel here with a leather belt around his belt. Now, those who are in soft clothing are in king's palaces. You observe, Jesus used the kind of humorous response. What did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and one who is more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger ahead of you. He prepared the way before you. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen one, anyone greater than John the Baptist. Of all those in the past, Moses, Abraham, none greater than John the Baptist. Verse 13, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you're willing to accept it, John himself is Elijah who was to come. And so our Lord acknowledges and recognizes the great service of John the Baptist. But then we come to that astounding statement by Jesus there in verse 11. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. None greater than John, looking backwards. But those who are least in the kingdom are greater than he. The term kingdom of heaven, of course, used in the context of our Lord's preaching. The book of Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and verse 15 is John taking the custody. Jesus began preaching. Time is fulfilled. Kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. The kingdom was at hand. Therefore, during John's ministry and during Christ's ministry, the kingdom was at hand. It was not realized, it was at hand. Then you observe how these things are applied. When the Lord, having received Peter's confession, who do you say I am? You are the Christ, Son of the living God, Matthew chapter 16. Upon this rock I will build my church, his assembly. Gates of Hades shall not overpower it. And to Peter I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I will build my church, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. What do you do with the keys? Well, you open the door. And so we read book of Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9 and verse 10. When of the risen and glorified Christ, standing there as a lamb slain, the message of the heavenly bodies toward the Lord Jesus Christ. He was worthy to take the book and break its seals. Open the book. For you were slain and departed for God with your blood, men of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. By the blood of Jesus Christ, those who are cleansed by his blood become his kingdom. But then we also remember the words of the Apostle Paul to the elders from the church of Ephesus. In Acts 20 and verse 28, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. I will build my church, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. And the blood of Jesus Christ, cleansing individuals who are obedient to the gospel, become his kingdom and become his church. Cleansed by Jesus Christ, the kingdom that was at hand following the death of Christ, the spilling of his blood and the cleansing of the sinners by that blood, his kingdom then is established. Which means, therefore, the dividing point, the point of demarcation is in the kingdom, as you have here in verse 11. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Being therefore in the kingdom, John was not in the kingdom. For those who are in the kingdom are greater than he. He was not in the kingdom. He was a herald of the kingdom. Therefore, John, like Moses, book of Deuteronomy 34 and verse 1, not allowed to enter the promised land. But by God's grace, up there on Mount Pisgah, he could look over and he could see the promised land, but did not enter in. John, as it were, could see the kingdom, but was not allowed to enter in. Those who are least in the kingdom of heaven, greater than he. So then what does this mean to us? When it says he who is least, you think, well, if that's not me, I'm pretty close. Least in the kingdom. But again, you observe in verse 13. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. All the law and the prophets until John. Therefore, John was the ending point of the working of the prophets of the Old Testament and all the law of the Old Testament up until John. All of God's work up until John, there concluded the preparation of the Old Testament. But look further. Book of Hebrews in chapter 12. Tell me, chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. As Hebrews 11 has given this account of all the worthies of the Old Testament, who by faith did wonders. Those going from Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and on down, you observe there in verse 32, what more shall I say? For time will fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, on and on. All these great wonders of the Old Testament. But observe in verse 39, all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised. All prophesied up until John. They gained approval through their faith, but did not receive what was promised. They were looking for what was coming. Because, in verse 40, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. There was something prepared better for us when that kingdom that John was speaking of, the Lord was preparing, when that kingdom was indeed established. Something better for us. So, book of Luke 22 and verse 44. As the risen Christ that is talking with the disciples, all things written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. The promise lay ahead, and the promise being fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Look back to a familiar passage, the book of Acts chapter 2. The law and the prophets up until John. All those of the old gained approval through their faith, but didn't receive what was promised. Something better prepared for us. Here you have, Acts chapter 2, the opening now of this new promise. And again, familiar verses, but read them afresh. When the message had been made clear, and the evidence presented, that the one whom they had crucified is both Lord and Christ. Verse 36, this Jesus whom you crucified. And when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. Literally, they were stunned by this news. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Indeed, it appeared hopeless. Peter said to them, repent, each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself. With many other words, he somewhat testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation, the promise being fulfilled. So then those who had received his word, welcomed his word, were baptized. And that day there were added about 3,000 souls. Something better for us. Something better they didn't have under the old covenant. Something they saw only by faith. But they had faith in the promise. We see the promises fulfilled. As we are submissive to the Lord, obey his will. The promise is for you and your children. As many are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself. And he calls in 2 Thessalonians 2 by the gospel. We are called to the Lord, and the promises then are received. John's work is fulfilled and accomplished, and all that was made known, something better for us, realized and fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So we give thanks to the Father, as Paul said in the book of Colossians chapter 1, who qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, forgiveness of our sins. And so in Hebrews 12, having concluded all the great worthies of the Old Testament in chapter 11, and having concluded, as we have seen at the very end of chapter 11, that these were approved for their faith, but didn't receive what was promised, something better was prepared and reserved for us. And so in chapter 12, being surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, all these, as it were, onlookers, all those who are cheering us on, all they've gone through, now surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing your eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of all God's promises. He who is least in the kingdom is greater than he, John the Baptist. Because who's greater? The one who had the privilege of being the herald of the kingdom, or the most humble disciple of Christ, who is a citizen in the kingdom? Our blessings are greater than John's. As great as John was, what a blessing to be part of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. The question then is, do we really appreciate what we have in Christ? Remember Hebrews 8 and verse 6? We have a better covenant, established upon better promises. All the greatness of the Old Testament, yet we have a better covenant, established upon better promises. On Ephesians 3, chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Peter uses the exact same language. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What a blessing we're part of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. But then take heed. As the Lord said here in the book of Matthew chapter 11, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let us remember that just as the New Testament followed the Old Testament, so the eternal kingdom will follow this. And so Peter admonishes in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1 to be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing us. As long as you practice these things, you'll never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom will be abundantly supplied to you. As the New Testament followed the Old Testament, so the eternal kingdom will follow this kingdom. And the tragedy is, there are those who are part of Christ's kingdom just now, who, as we discussed this morning, because of being shallow in their faith, being distracted and taken away by other things, will not receive the reward. One can be part of Christ's kingdom just now, but then fall away. Give heed to false teaching. Be attracted by the dazzling baubles of the world. Therefore, be ones who are on guard. Be those who take heed. Give every diligence to be prepared in this life for the eternal. Because the eternal kingdom, as surely as the old became before the new, the eternal kingdom will follow this kingdom. We therefore have the opportunity of being prepared. The promises are ours. And friend, if you are not in Christ Jesus, the promise still awaits. The promise is for you and for your children, for all who are far off. And that promise was salvation. That promise was a place in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, a place in his assembly. And that is gained only as God places us in Christ, as Christ grants us the gift of salvation, and those are realized as we obey the gospel. And we saw in Acts chapter 2, what shall we do? And the answer is quite clear. Well, men mess it up, men try to explain it away, but quite clearly, those who receive the promises are those who repent of their sins, believers who repent of their sins, and are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, receiving as a result forgiveness of our sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, the promises of God of salvation and the promises of God in Christ in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And the very least who's in the kingdom is greater than the greatest of the Old Testament. What a blessing to be in Christ. Christians, let us make sure, make certain of what is calling and choosing us for that eternal kingdom which comes. And if you're not part of his kingdom, not part of his church, then we urge you and we admonish you tonight to be obedient to Christ. Put away pride, whatever it might be baptized into Christ. Raised to walk in newness of life, cleansed and made whole, a member of his kingdom. Whatever your need might be, come as we stand together and sing.